Well, philosophy behind it was energy, like just bring the energy, bring the fun, bring the good times, bring like education and inspiration to live a healthier, happier, more energized life, but do it in a way that doesn't feel like education or feel like you're being taught something. It's like we pride ourselves on whether it's doing our dual shows or whether it's doing our term programs, anything. It's we pride it on just absolute fun. The kids are there having the time of their lives, but they're learning and growing.
TheWellnessCouch.com, streaming wellness into your lives. Download the app today.
Welcome to the Self Love Podcast, the show that helps crack open your heart and inspire a deeper regard for your own well-being and happiness. Proudly brought to you by 28 Essentials. Here's your host, the gorgeous Kim Morrison.
Welcome to the Self Love Podcast. This week, a very special soul, the amazing Cam Best. This human is a proud father of three children, husband to Sarah, who we heard on the Self Love Podcast just a few weeks ago, and healthy kids advocate. Cam's passion and mission is to inspire the youth of Australia to get outside, to be active, and to nourish their bodies with sunshine foods. Cam founded the Movement and Role Model Program for NDIS-funded kids and created the Juiced Up Living Show, which has been showcased in hundreds of schools throughout Queensland. Now, you're going to love today's story. Cam himself has hit a few roadblocks with accidents and also having to overcome an illness. And I think you'll find through the absolute determination and resilience that he created through this, it led him where he was meant to be, which is helping children lead a fully healthy, active lifestyle. I love where this man and his business partner, Chris, are heading with Juiced Up Grooms, and I absolutely love the tenacity and ability that they've shown to help other people shine, in particular by helping families and communities have better social connectivity, more resilience, and most of all, better health and well-being. I cannot wait to share this with you. I hope you enjoyed today's show. There's so many beautiful nuggets in here, and I cannot wait to hear your feedback over on my Instagram page, Kim Morrison and the number 28, on Facebook, Kim Morrison Training. You can head on over to thewellnesscouch.com/selflovepodcast. Also, reach out to juicedupgroms.com and follow them on all their socials. And if you're looking for a program like this, either for your children or through the NDIS program, here is an amazing opportunity for you to reach out to the gorgeous Cam and Chris, and let's see what magic they can create for you and your beautiful networks. I cannot wait to share this with you. Can't wait to hear what you've got to say about it. Take care, be kind, and I look forward to sharing another beautiful soul right here on the Self Love Podcast. Each and every week, I have the opportunity to interview some of the most extraordinary souls, people who have an amazing story, people who are doing amazing things in the world, and people who genuinely can ignite and light up our worlds just through sharing who they are. And this week, I am delighted to bring to the show a gorgeous soul, the amazing Cam Best. Welcome, gorgeous.
G'day, Kimmy. Thank you very much.
It's been such a treat to know that you'd come on the show. You've got an incredible story and you're doing some amazing stuff in the world. But before we get into all of that, would you mind just taking us back, who you are, where you're from, and what led you down into this path that you're doing today?
Oh, thank you, Kimmy. So excited to be here. And can I just say, like, you know, absolute privilege and honor to be here today, because you know, you yourself, your amazing products have been such an amazing integral part of our home, especially the ladies, my lovely wife, Sarah, and my daughter, Phoebs. So, yeah, so grateful to be here and love what you do for our family and the wider community. So as far as sharing a bit more about my life, you know, for me, life is a journey of intended accidents. And I was sitting down thinking about this, and my mum was the very first person to teach me this. I live out in Dalby, which is a country town, a pretty big country town, but out in the middle of the Darling Downs. Born and raised out there, lots of agriculture. Lived on a 500-acre farm, which was amazing. We grew wheat, sorghum, and Dad He was a primary producer. He worked hard, but he was always there. He was my sports coach, amazing man that taught me so much and have a great relationship still with today. Lived a very happy, healthy, loved family life. And then mum, she was like your typical mum from back then. She was, well, maybe not so typical, but she was always there. She was always caring for us. I just remember her always dropping us to school, picking us up, taking us to the bus, just being always in the home, caring and loving for us. Such an amazing, inspirational lady who, again, I have such a close relationship still with today. I had a younger brother, Paul, who we played footy with, who I played cricket with every weekend, every day after school. We'd dare each other to run through the prickles and things like that. So great relationship with my bro, and a younger sister as well. She's about 7 years younger than me. And, I just took time to really love her and be with her and play with her as a kid. I remember playing dolls with her just because that's what she loved to do. So I'd do that with her. So the childhood was very fond. I remember growing, driving the tractor with dad, and then eventually I was able to drive the tractor on my own. So I felt, very, very honored for the family to be able to do that for him. And then we'd go out looking for yabbies in the back creeks. We'd have adventures on the farm. We'd go out to Lake Bullwater, spend a lot of time camping and water skiing. Dad had a boat called Sabotage, with a lot of fond memories around that. Lots of sport, playing footy, doing cross country, so lots of running and footy, basically. And I think it was mum that set up some traits that are really important to me today. Like mum was the first one to teach me how to cook. Like she cooked everything from scratch. There was no junk. I'd often go to school and try and trade my really good food for junk food because we didn't have a lot of it at home. But like, mum taught me this thing about healthy eating and cooking. And she was also the first one to introduce me to energy, and everything happens for a reason. She spoke about angels and things like that. So, first came across those concepts, and now I also really utilize these today as well. Enjoyed school, the school captain in year 12, first one to go through the year 12 at St. Mary's College in Dalby. Eventually went on to uni in Toowoomba. I was keen to get out and start my own life, did a Bachelor of Marketing. And even though today I do a lot of marketing with my Juiced Up Bronze business, at the time I didn't really use it much. It was I just did it because I wanted to hang out with my mates and have this college life, which I absolutely love. Eventually did graduate from uni and went to Sunshine Coast where mum was living. And I just straight up went and canvassed for a job. And this was a very pivotal part of my life because this is where I met Sarah, my future wife. So I was canvassing for a job in the hospitality industry, cafes and restaurants and things like that. And in my typical style, I took it very casually. I think I was wearing thongs, and Sarah said I was wearing a blue trucker singlet. And this is me looking for jobs. And she was the one that actually got me the job because the boss said to her, and she tells the story that he's like, oh, how is he? Should we hire him? And she's like, I don't know. But I did a lot of gym at the time. She's like, I'll hire him for his arms or his muscles or something along those lines, she said. So that was the start of our life together. We spent from that day onwards, started dating, a lot of time together. We both enjoyed the gym. I was just super impressed with this girl that could squat and leg press pretty much as I could. She loved her sports like me, and we both came from the Darling Downs, both had amazing families. So we really hit it off together, and that was the start of this amazing relationship that we share today. Professionally then, I eventually got out of hospitality and I moved into share trading. And I loved the idea of educating and teaching people things. So share trading was that for me. I was part of a group that used to teach people how to share trade. We got to actually travel a bit and head to New Zealand, a few different locations, and taught people trading. But eventually it was something that really didn't resonate with me. Eventually I got out of that. And then to that point, we decided as a family that we needed to make some changes. Sarah was an AMBO at the time, an ambulance officer. So we actually picked up the family. This time we only had one child. We moved way out west, out near Emerald, to a town called Capella, a tiny little community of about 1,000 people. We loved it here. Sarah had a much better working lifestyle with the ambulance, and I was able to do something that I was very, very passionate about, or knew that I wanted to do from a young age, and that was become a full-time father. So Sarah was working the ambulance, and I was just spending my time, nurturing and looking after the kids. Eventually we started to have more kids. Along came Phoebe, our second child, so we already had Harry. Along came Phoebe, our second child, that was spending all this amazing time out west in this beautiful little community where there was no things like movie theaters and shops and shopping centers. It was just community, and people used to just hang out, have barbecues, and just, you know, I just love that simplistic lifestyle. And I was really enjoying life because I was, spending all my time with Harry and Phoebe. At this stage, Charlie wasn't there yet. He's our third child. And Sarah was working in the ambulance in a small community, and she was able to spend a lot more time at home as well. So we absolutely loved this. And then something that my closest family and things know about me, something else happened at this point, which has been real pivotal in my life as well. And an autoimmune disease actually, for whatever reason, came to me called ulcerative colitis. And at this stage, I'm about 30 years old, so it's over 10 years ago. And this was something that really rocked me, and it really affected me. It actually hospitalized me, doctors were actually talking about removing parts of my bowel. But it was at this point, and maybe I can talk more about this later, Kimmy, is this idea of living a lot more like how we used to live, what I call primal living, came to me. And ultimately, this is what helped me heal, become better, and overcome this disease. It was amazing. It's amazing people point in my life that, you know, at the time it was just so destructive and just absolutely floored me. I lost a heap of weight. It was just completely flat, and it seemed to go on for a little while. But it was the turning point in my life that really taught me about on living and healthy living. But as far as moving on with life, so at this point, you know, Sarah's still an ambulance officer, but it's a full-time, you know, lifestyle for her where she was on call 24/7, even though she was really enjoying it. She was on call 24/7. That was really starting to affect her. So we decided that I would actually go into the mines. I had a lot of mates out there. They're already in the mining sector. So from this point, went into the mine. So I did a few things while I was out there. I was mining, and I was also doing some work at the school, at the local school, as a support teacher. So the mining was something that, you know, I did for 1 week, and then for the 1 week I was offered to come in and work at a school. And the interesting thing at the school is I was going around looking at these kids, you know, eating their lunches and things like that, and I observed how much junk food or how much packet food these kids were eating. Like myself and Sarah, we lived a life and we taught our kids where we, you know, made a lot of things from scratch and had healthy eating, and then I'd see a lot of this junk food with these kids, and to me it was sort of like, wow, I could really help these kids. Like, I want to do something really to inspire them to eat healthy food. And I actually went to the principal there and said, do you mind if I, you know, go around and have, like, be like a fireside chat with these kids, make some smoothies with them, because that's just a simple, easy thing to bring it to life, and just chat to them about healthy living in general. And she was like, ah, that sounds awesome. Let's do that. And from there, word of others from other schools got in, out and about. So I was actually able to go to different schools and out in the West, and present what I called at the time healthy eating workshops. We called it HEW. And this was the start of my future business, which exists today. But it was the fact that I was this support teacher in schools that led me to starting to educate and inspire and do these things with kids around healthy living and healthy eating, which, you know, absolutely loved. And at the same time, mining. So, you know, life was very busy out in the West. And then I guess another very pivotal point in my life within the mine, very serious.
Do you mind if I just interrupt you there for a second, Cam, because you've just said so many amazing things. One thing could you mind if I just go back a little step here, because I think it's such an important part. You said you grew up with an incredible upbringing, quite healthy, wholesome eating, and yet you somehow ended up with this autoimmune disease. Before we go into what happened in mining, can we just backtrack a little bit? Have you thought about what caused that, even though you'd had a great upbringing, you'd been eating well? What do you think were the things that created this autoimmune disease?
Yeah, for sure, Kimmy. Like, it's something I think a lot about and go, you know, why did this happen to me? What has it got to teach me? And for me, I just think some things were out of balance. I've got this framework, which ulcerative colitis ultimately taught me, and I call it the primal living framework, where I would try to live a lot more like the way our ancestors used to live, you know, getting heaps of sunshine, getting earth, eating well, moving your body, getting sleep, What sort of purpose do we have in life? How are our relationships with ourselves, with our family, with our community? And when I sort of really sat down and looked at why did this happen, I think maybe there were some things out with me and my relationship with myself, my relationship with the community. That's when I look back to it. And ultimately, I guess following what I really wanted to do in life and my purpose in life. And up until, I guess, the mining accident, I was just sort of doing things that I thought was just in the best interest of maybe us providing and making money and things like that. And I had to learn to really love and adore myself and believe in myself and follow my passion. I had this passion, desire to work with kids, to teach kids and families and communities about healthy living. But at the time, I probably thought that wasn't very important or wasn't a very manly job. And I held back on it. I was very passionate about it, but held back on it. And
you see, that's the key thing for me, is that we can be the healthiest versions of ourselves and we can do the, inverted commas, right things from an ancestral or primal point of view. And yet some people still end up with something that kind of stops them in their tracks. Now, what I'm hearing is that if there's not an alignment with living that in your relationships, your work, your idea or identity of what it is to be a man, isn't it fascinating that your words, that this may not have been seen as a manly job, and yet I guarantee you, anyone listening to this would say one of the most incredible jobs we could do. They reckon that we're losing male teachers at a very high rate. And I think more than anything, the influence of men and male energy when we're young actually gives us a very healthy perspective for as we grow, particularly if these humans, these men, are evolved humans themselves. When you look back on that now, before the mining accident, which we'll get into in a moment, and you think about it as a man now, teaching children, being in their world, do you still have that viewpoint that it's not a manly job?
No, absolutely not. Like, it's no way in the world. Like, and this is part of the healing, this is part of the growth. And I've actually learned to love, not just love, but actually realize that how important it is and vital it is for healthy, amazing male role models. And to sort of illustrate that point even further, what you talked about there, Kim, I remember this one particular point where I was living a fantastic life. I was a stay-at-home dad. So ultimately I was living a life that I really, really desired. But I remember, I think I'd just dropped off Harry to kindy and I was pushing Phoebe in the pram back home. And I haven't spoken, actually, I don't know if I've really spoken about this out loud, but I remember this truck driving past, a male truck driver driving this truck. And in my head, I remember thinking to myself, I wonder what they think of another male being out pushing a stroller and being like a stay-at-home dad. And it was actually something that, I was thinking a very derogatory way to myself. But this particular story, which I haven't really spoken about out loud, I have spoken to it to Sarah, is a story that I remember very, very clearly and vividly. And, to go to your point as to what was causing this ulcerative colitis and, what was happening within me, I knew deep down that the way that I thought about myself in that moment and in that particular part of my life was a big part of the journey or the process of creating this, ulcerative colitis situation, because all things happen to us for a reason. And they're there to teach us things with it, and they're there to grow for us. Ultimately, it's meant to happen. Your question is, how do I feel about the situation now? The situation is very, very different because, I feel like it's an absolute necessity to be out there and inspiring and teaching these kids and families about how to live a wholesome, vibrant, energized life.
You know, it's such an incredible thing. I'm always fascinated by physical dis-ease and the emotional attachment. And even though this isn't the only way to look at it, I find it interesting that people like Bruce Lipton talks about biology of belief. And then also we have people like Louise Hay, who talks about colitis as insecurity, represents the ease of letting go of that which is over. Almost letting go of the stigma that men have to be men, men don't cry, men don't push prams, letting go of that. Isn't that fascinating that you were in this conundrum and yet your body physiologically gave you this, or you created this illness around insecurity and letting go of that which is over entirely, where we now look at men, and it doesn't matter what the role, men and women can play different roles now using their masculine and feminine energy. And yet here you are, it kind of like perhaps stopped you in your tracks enough for you to investigate this. Let's keep going forward, because I just am loving this so much. You're still working in the mines. Talk to us about what happened next as the next major pivotal moment for you.
Yeah, so I was in the mines, and I'd been there multiple years at this stage. And then, a very serious accident happened. I was underground mining. We're mining for coal, and in this particular area, we were bolting up the roof. So we'd mined out the coal, we'd come in with the mining bolter, and we're putting big bolts into the roof. And a piece of the roof actually dislodged, big piece, about 100 kilo piece of stone, and it struck me in the back. It was a time that was very, very scary for me. I actually thought I was going to die. And it's to this day, it still gets me upset because I was suffocating. It knocked the absolute wind out of me, and I thought I was going to suffocate to death. There was so much fear happening, but, ultimately, in the end, I recovered and I was okay. But, at the time, it caused a lot of serious injuries, broke a lot of bones, some backbones, some rib bones, and did a lot of internal injury, and I was in intensive care for a few weeks recovering. But
did you have anyone with you at that time? Like, how did you breathe through that? If you felt like you were suffocating, you've got a 100-kilo rock on you. What did you do to get out of that? This is insane.
So the rock hit me, and then it didn't pin me or anything like that. It just hit me and knocked me off the machine. And for a moment, I blacked out, and then I was with two other gentlemen that were with me that I was working with on this particular mining or bolting machine, and they were very quick to drag me back up onto the machine and try and help me. At this point, because it struck me, big rock struck me, I couldn't breathe. Like, it just caused me to feel like I was suffocating. And I don't know how long that lasted for. It felt like a farewell. And, I literally had life flash in front of my eyes. Like, I just remember going back to my family and thinking about that and going, I just do not want to die down in this black hole. And the boys were there to help me, and eventually my breath came back. So I was sort of in a place where I thought, okay, I'm going to be okay. I was obviously very, very sore, and from there they quickly came from everywhere in a team of about 9 blokes. So they came from everywhere and just went into recovery mode, or help modes, where they'll take me to the surface. Take me from an ambulance to the local hospital, which was about a 10-minute drive away. And then from there, I was just eventually airlifted to Mackay Hospital and spent a few weeks there in intensive care. This was, for me, a very pivotal point in my life. Like, just to be lying in bed and having all these amazing people travel to come see me, all my family and friends, and see me in hospital. And for me, the fallback was the fact I was already quite fit and healthy. I made a pretty swift recovery. I felt like I was already strong and eating well and things like that beforehand. So this was able to help me recover quite quickly. I had a really, really good support network, obviously, as well. My wife and my family and my extended family and friends and people just gathered around and just made it their absolute, mission to help me get better as fast as possible. I started doing things.
Can I just ask you here? I remember interviewing Sarah a few weeks ago, She talked about being on the other side of what it was to be in the ambulance world in an emergency sense. She wasn't the one called to the mine or anything, was she? Like,
no.
So when she found out about it and now she was on the other end of receiving this news, how did you two navigate through that initial stage of realizing how serious this accident was?
I guess it was all up to Sarah at the first point, because I was, you know, in a bit of a bad way. Like, I didn't have much life about me at all. I was lying in bed, and then was really unsure what was happening, and it was airlifted to Mackay fairly quickly. And then from there, you know, they did all sorts of tests and moved me straight to intensive care. So we talked about it afterwards, but I was very unaware of what was happening at the other end. Sarah was very much, you know, in a flurry or a state of worry, as she tried to, because we had three kids at the time, so she had to get them all organised and then very quickly come up and see me at Mackay. And you know, as well, my mum came up, my wife Sarah's parents came up as well. So these people very quickly dropped a lot of things and moved to, you know, came to Mackay to be there to help and support myself. So yeah, from Sarah's perspective, like she said, it was very different being on the receiving end as an ambulance officer, being the person that had to actually come and be a part of this family incident or family accident.
Mm. And do you think from that perspective, again, intentional accidents, this is another moment where you could do nothing except be cared for. Here you were, one of the main carers of your family, and now you could do nothing but be cared for. How did that feel to you to receive that care when you are such a giving, caring person yourself?
Well, yeah, I mean, it felt good and it felt bad. It for that reason, yes, of course, it was lovely to feel all this tension and a care. But at the same time, I went through a really a period of kind of depression just because I felt helpless. And so I guess, you know, you should allow yourself time to heal and get better. But as a man and as part of the family and unsure what I was going to do now, I felt really helpless and I felt quite depressed. So even though I should have felt, you know, this overwhelming love and gratitude for these people around me, and Sarah would say this too, I went through this period where I was really aching, like just not there. So I was, because previously, you know, I am today, like this, the man that puts a lot of time and energy into being an amazing, loving husband and just amazing father figure for my kids. You know, my wife, my kids are my absolute life. But there was a period there of a few months that I was, you know, felt lifeless and loveless, I guess you call it, as well, to my wife and to my kids. I guess it was something to do with the accident or part of the healing process. I'm not sure, but we can talk about it now. But you know, it was really upsetting for Sarah, especially Sarah and the kids at the time, because you know, I felt very helpless. Mm. I felt very vacant. I felt very distant from everyone, all people.
I just keep picturing you, this robust, healthy human. And I always feel for people in accidents or sporting accidents or when our men feel helpless. And I'm not saying it's just men, but there's just something about being able to provide and protect their family. I'm just curious from your perspective then, you can see you have a choice. There's a fork in the road in these pivotal moments where you can become a victim to the situation, where you go down a hill and down into a hole of despair and not loving oneself and feeling useless and all of those things. Or you can look to it and find that strength to actually heal, overcome, and come out even better. We know which path you chose, but I'm sure at times there was moments where you were at rock bottom. Were you ever told you may not heal, or were you ever told that this was going to be a life-changing accident? How did you get through the doctor moments or when people would say things to you? Because the mind can play extraordinary tricks when we're trying to heal or get through something when emotions are involved. How did you get through those times?
Yeah, I mean, from a doctor's perspective, they were very encouraging and uplifting. And I don't feel like there's ever a situation where I felt like I was personally going to have permanent injuries, you know, within myself. I felt like I'm just going to get on top of this as soon as I can and recover. Of course, there was that month or 2 months right at the start where it was very intense and I had those very dark moments, which was part of that healing process and part of those serious injuries. But as soon as I sort of came back to life, you might like to say it, or felt like, okay, I'm ready to move on now, I just put all my time and energy into getting better. And in my own mind, I'm like, I knew I was going to make 100% recovery, and I did. And I knew that this had happened for a reason as well. I try very hard when anything happens, good or bad, if we perceive it as good or bad, that you know everything happens for a reason. I start off by saying everything is intended accidents. So I was pretty quick to, in my own mind, go, okay, there's something happening here. I'm meant to head in another direction. Even while I was at the mines, I knew I wasn't serving or playing my highest purpose. You know, I was there. I enjoyed the job. I enjoyed the boys that I work with. But ultimately, I knew it wasn't where I was meant to be. You know, I have a look at this and go, I think this is what I think. I know this is steering me in the direction I'm meant to head towards. And ultimately it led to juiced up Groms. You want me to head down that path?
Yes, because this is where you really are in flow and this is where your genius gets to shine. Give us the exact journey on this, because it must have been percolating for a little bit. And then the name, what you do and what you offer, because this is profound and I'm really excited to share this.
No, thanks, Kimmy. Yeah, I've got goosebumps on my arms then when we talked about this particular part of my life, because, I pivoted and moved towards a new profession or a new, I don't even like to call it a profession, it's just my life. It's just like, juiced up Groms is who I am. It's my family. It's my vacation. It's my everything. And ultimately this accident pushed me there a lot quicker than I was meant to, than I thought I was going to head there. So juiced up Groms was something that was a concept already in the background, but it was something I was certainly not pursuing or intended to pursue for years. But when I came home from the mines from my accident, my brother-in-law, Chris, who is Sarah's brother, very similar in that he just loves and adores kids, is very, very passionate about life and healthy living, came to me and said, like, you know, you've got this thing happening in the background, because at this stage I had done a few things out west where I was teaching kids. I call it healthy eating workshops. And I was just going to school doing these things with kids. And Chris came to me and said, you know what, I want to do this as well. Let's put something together where we can really, impact and make a difference on the youth and the families. I was doing sort of the food and nutrition side of things. Chris had a exercise and PT background, and he really wanted to bring in sort of the gains and the movement side of things. So that's what we did. We sort of merged the two together. And came up with this concept of impacting our community or the youth through, nutrition, through movement, through being outside. And the name Juiced Up Groms, we were just literally sitting around coming up with some sort of ideas, and we're like, well, at the moment, healthy eating workshops or anything with healthy or workshop, that's a bit boring. It's sort of a bit like sort of been done a lot. And I'm not sure who came up with it. It wasn't me. It was either Chris or Sarah. We were all sitting there together as a group. Ultimately, it's like, we do juices. We talk about getting juiced up, getting pumped up. It's just, and Groms means a young, active child. Groms comes from the X Games or surfing. It's very relevant to the coast as well. So we use the term Grom a lot. Like, if you're a Grom, you're a happy, healthy, active child. So it's juiced up Groms. That's ultimately where the name came from.
It's so good. So good. And it's so on point and kind of almost woke. It's so cool. And when you decided on that name and you all looked at each other and went, that's it. And then talk to us about then what the philosophy and behind it was.
Well, philosophy behind it was energy, like just bring the energy, bring the fun, bring the good times, bring like education and inspiration to live a healthier, happier, more energized life, but do it in a way that doesn't feel like education or feel like you're being taught something. It's like we pride ourselves on whether it's doing our school shows or whether it's doing our term programs, anything. It's we pride it on just absolute fun. The kids are there having the time of their lives, but they're learning and growing. So that's definitely the philosophy behind what we do. The Juiced Up Groms, like at first, like today it's an amazing, thriving business. We're hiring coaches as we speak. It's growing. It's just got this massive trajectory up. We've got big, big plans for it. But right back at the start, like when we decided or I knew that I had to sort of pursue this, it was really tough. I was scared. And there was a real lack of belief, I guess, at the start to think, can I lead or can I inspire a movement around healthy living for these kids and these families? And to also leave the safety of employment or being an employee. Because up until this stage, it was decided that I was either a stay-at-home dad or I was working. So to go off and start my own business was a scary thing, as all yourself and all other business owners would know. It's, you've got to really step out of that box and you are now in complete charge. So it's exciting, but it's scary at the same time. But with Sarah, my wife, with some amazing support and some mentors that I've met along the way, like, the journey of Juiced Up Groms really started to progress. And just bit by bit, we sort of got this belief that we could do it. Myself and Chris, and of course Sarah, my wife as well, but Chris, my business partner, we started to see this thing, actually coming to life and people were responding to it. Like the very first thing we did was just a free program on the Sunshine Coast over the Christmas holidays. And people came from everywhere and just loved it and said, how can we do more of this? And it started. From there, we reached out to schools and communities and we, over the next sort of year or two, visited hundreds of schools. I haven't actually sat down and worked out, but it's, multiple hundreds of schools throughout Queensland. We went to the Darling Downs, we went to Brisbane, we went to Sunshine Coast, we went to Emerald. We went all over, basically Southeast Queensland, even Queensland abroad, and started engaging with these communities and the kids and the teachers and the communities. Were just loving it. We were having the best time. Had big plans for it then, but then along came the big C, COVID, and overnight we had 50 school contracts. I was actually looking up my spreadsheets from when COVID hit, and there was 50 school contracts were just wiped out just like that. We had a year's worth of income ahead of us that was wiped out just like that. And it was my choice, mine and Chris is our choice, because at the time to be able to go into schools and to, to facilitate a community program, you had to have the COVID injection. So we chose not to at that particular time. That was something that we were very passionate about as well. Sarah, she was an ambulance officer, as we said, and she decided to stop work as well because she didn't want to have the injection. So for us at the time, it was, I guess, quite a bit tough, a little bit of a struggle at the time. But it was a very easy decision for us all to make, Chris, myself and Sarah, because, ultimately what matters is that we have our family and we have our health. And at this time we're choosing not to have, injections and things like that to be able to continue to work. So Juiced Up Groms didn't fold. It just went very much in the background. We did some online things. But it was an interesting point because we're online and we're getting some engagement online. That physical connection wasn't there, that seeing people face-to-face, and that very much what Juiced Up Groms was about. I talked before about the energy and just bringing the life. There was felt like, not as much connection there, so I just really didn't resonate it. I just felt, again, like this is not really the pathway. What are we going to do with this? There were some periods there where we're just trying different things. But I was sort of unsure what to do with this. Thankfully, the way it was meant to be is that, it didn't last too long. We got the word. Like I was out camping. I remember at the back of Noosa camping and two and a half years or so ago now, when we got the word that we could now go back into schools and start doing juiced up ROMs again, which was super, super exciting for us. So we did. We got back into it, and we were flying again. We were visiting schools. We were running public programs. We were engaging with hundreds of kids every single week and loving it. But the thing is, what I found with this, there was lots and lots of people involved and the business was growing, but the relationships were a little bit limited. As it, I felt like we just, all these people would come and then go again. Maybe we'd go back to a school a second time and these kids would remember us and they'd come out and they'd tell us about these things they'll start to implement in their life. Things they were doing, because, you know, we spoke about this at the school, they want to relay that information back to us. So whenever we go back and see these people again, I love that, because there were some of these relationships that were already established. So that mentorship or that relationship side of it, I felt was lacking on a scale side of things. So this is what actually led us towards our latest sort of version of Juiced Up ROMs, and that's working with and within the NDIS programs, or doing this for NDIS funded children and families. We were encouraged many, many times, I think, back over the years, ever since we started Juiced Up ROMs. I had people reach out to me and say, can you do this for NDIS kids, or you should go down that path. I really recommend that we go down that path. But at the time, we were just sort of busy doing other things and, never really thought much of it, till eventually I said, you know what, there's definitely something here. We need to check this out a little bit deeper. And just so, so glad we did. This is about 12 months ago that we pivoted towards this direction. We probably spend 90% of our time personally in this space now. And what I love about NDIS, and for those that I think most people aware of, but NDIS is the National Disability Insurance Scheme. So what I love about this is that we're able to really connect with our clientele now. We're able to really work a lot closer with them and inspire them and mentor them and create relationships with them, because we spend time with them. We have a 10-week program that we do at the moment, and we spend time with them. We have sessions every single week, and then we have things where they reach out to us, connect with us through text and email and video and WhatsApp and things like that. So we're constantly in contact with these families, not just kids, it's a whole family thing. And now with Juiced Up ROMs, it's like, I love the concept of Juiced Up ROMs, but really started to feel at home with what we're doing within Juiced Up ROMs. And, you know, ultimately we've got this place now where the business is just thriving, getting amazing results. You know, parents will come to us and say things like, you know, my child has been doing therapies, things for years, but they come in and do a few weeks of the program or this 10-week program, and all of a sudden they're you know, making more friends, or their social skills are really starting to grow and develop, and all these things start, amazing things are starting to happen at home. So
it's such a powerful, powerful route that you've been on. And like any entrepreneur, business owner, creator, the path can take many different turns and twists and bends. And if we just allow ourselves to surrender to it, stay focused with intent, and allow the universe to really have our back, it's kind of quite a beautiful process. The hardest thing is ego, financial pressures, time, energy, all of these things in the human realm can kind of challenge us at times. As you look at it now, and as you sit there and you hear the feedback and you see the impact of these beautiful communities and relationships that you and Chris are building, where do you see it expanding to now, and how can you grow it, or how can more people find out about Juiced Up ROMs?
Yeah, and that's the place we're at now with it, Kimmy. Like, there's a couple of things I think about within the business. How can we reach families all over Australia? Because it's having so much success on the Sunshine Coast. It's, you know, the program just continues to sell out. So there's only a certain capacity that we can reach. And then two is, how can I build a lifestyle into this business? Because, you know, having your own business and having something that you're very passionate about can take up a lot of time. But ultimately for me too, I want to build lifestyle into this, because my family is a very, very high priority for me. They're number one, you know, as well as my amazing clients and community. So we're at this point where we're trying to think about lifestyle. And we're trying to be able to, you know, reach or have our impact reach other people, you know, eventually all over Australia. So, yeah, we've got things in the pipeline we're doing at the moment. We are hiring more coaches where we can just reach people, you know, over the Sunshine Coast and maybe Southeast Queensland. But then eventually plans to have this program reached out to people beyond our sort of close area of Southeast Queensland, where they can, you know, pick this up and utilize it in community, in their communities, wherever that may be, and just help, I guess, mentor and coach other coaches and business owners, people that want to be a business owner, to implement this program in places, you know, in the future, all over Australia, because it's a program that I know is certainly impactful to these kids, like from a social, community, and physical perspective, especially social and community. Because we started off, like, Juiced Up Groms was very much about the physical. It's all about physical capacity. How can we help build their, you know, their motor skills, their core strength, their balance, and all that sort of thing. But what I quickly realized, and where some of the massive results were coming, was, yes, they'll develop that physical stuff by default, but what's having a profound effect and what's really making a difference to these families and what these parents are coming back and telling us is the social skills, the making new friends, developing networks within the families that are within the program, and then community interaction. So that social community side is becoming a very, very powerful part of the program and a part that I also really, really love, seeing these kids, you know, engage socially and within their community. So to answer the question, other coaches, you know, I believe around Australia can take these concepts, this simple idea of a program where the kids interact and socialise with each other, just around doing fun games and movement in an outdoor environment. Like, you know, it's a simple but effective model. And I know other people can love it, pick up as well. So that's the plan for Juiced Up Groms in moving forwards with it.
Do you know, as I'm listening to you speak here, does it help if people listening to this or they know someone who perhaps is in that NDIS system, if they reached out to the NDIS and asked for this program in their area, would that help you to grow it and to push further and, you know, like further beyond the Southeast Queensland region?
Yeah, for sure. Like, I do have people reaching out. Like, I have had people reaching out on Harvey Bay, Toowoomba, all around the Darling Downs, especially because we've done a lot of work there with our school shows, and then Gold Coast, areas like that. So there's people already starting to reach out. So we keep a note of that on our database, and we just tag them in particular areas because we know eventually we are heading to that areas. We're going to have people in that areas. And then we can reach out to them and go, look, we are going to be there. We're super excited to bring the program there. So for sure, if people want to reach out to us, doesn't matter where you come from, you know, the intention certainly is to eventually get these concepts, these ideas, these programs, this energy to all sorts of areas all over, you know, Queensland and Australia.
Exactly. I just really want to help you do this because one of the hardest things for families that are affected or have children that, it doesn't matter what we say, think, do, or feel. There is something about happy children. Parents, I read a quote once, you know, a mother is only as happy as her saddest child. When we see our children connecting, when they've got social interaction, skills with conversation or participation, when they feel like they belong, they feel they have a purpose. These are all acts and beautiful, a part of what it means to truly love oneself. When we feel connected, when we feel wanted, when we feel loved and are able to love and to share our brilliance, our magic, that is a real beautiful act of self-love. And being the Self-Love Podcast, I do like to ask my guests, what do you think the definition of self-love is, given all of your experiences and all the things you personally have been through, and now what you're hoping to and helping others to believe in?
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, I've spoken quite a bit about, you know, sort of my version of self-love. That's that idea of primal living. So, you know, I like to build frameworks. This is how I personally work, of things that are very structured that I can work in. And, you know, when I started to have some of those health problems or some of those, you know, limiting thoughts about myself, what helped me at the time was to build a framework around that. I think our past selves or our past humans were ultimately very, very vibrant, energized, and just loved and adored themselves. So if we can understand our past and really look to our history, it leaves clues and connect with our ancestors. The principles that we used to follow as humans is ultimately what made us thrive and flourish. This is how I think about it anyway in my own personal sort of little world.
I love it. I love it because it means that we're going back to the foundation of what it is to actually be human. And we forget in this fast-paced life and this never-ending chase for money or abundance or whatever it is we're chasing, we can get caught up on the treadmill of life and forget what actually truly matters. And that's social connectivity, self-love, physical health and well-being, good food. A lot of people in this day and age, because of the way we talk about food, think that food is number one. And I appreciate why we think food is number one. But in fact, when I look at any of the longevity studies or when you listen to people like Marcus Pierce talk about this, number one is actually having social connectivity and life purpose, actually being able to contribute. What happens for you? Do you have a story for us when you see one of your beautiful students or participants maybe come in a certain way and after 10 weeks, do you have any success stories or any stories you want to share around how your work and Juiced Up Groms has impacted families or communities?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we hear all sorts of things from these kids and all sorts of things from these families, and it's wonderful to get this feedback. But as I sort of mentioned before, a lot of it's around them developing these social skills and developing resilience within themselves. So there's one particular boy that I'll give an example of, and he lacked a lot of self-belief. He would self-terminate anytime any sort of physical event had to happen, be it like you can imagine going to school and doing sports carnivals or swimming carnivals or cross country and things like that. Even if it's just a game at lunchtime of soccer with the boys and girls or their little group of friends. The mum was trying to get into the program for a while because it had been booked out, but then she got in this particular term. And we had our onboarding call, like we always do, where we sort of establish some goals and priorities for the program. We talk about what's happened and what we'd like to achieve. And from there, we create like a bit of a success plan for them, things to implement throughout the program. But what was right at the top was self-resilience and overcoming this desire to self-terminate. And developing, resilience within yourself or self-confidence is probably just about the number one priority for most of our clients. And that's why this social side of it is so important, having people that they can work with, be it the peers or be the coaches, and work within these social realms, as opposed to, we do it through a physical means, through games and play, but it's the social interaction and the belief within themselves that are developed from that social interaction through the games is what ultimately is so powerful. And this boy, after just a few weeks, the mum came back to me and said, he's at home, he's doing all these amazing things and going outside and taking his dad outside because he wants to get outside and play and learn, and just at school and leading up to events and things like that. Now he's feeling so much more capable within himself. His resilience has improved dramatically, and she's just blown away because he went from this point of just being so scared to engage in any sort of event, especially a sporting event, but engage in any sort of event because of the belief that he might not live up to his own expectations, and this is a 7-year-old child that we're talking about, So through the program of interacting with his peers and interacting with us and just doing the, going through the process week to week through the program, he just started to build in confidence. You could see him just light up and just come to these sessions looking and feeling amazing. And then just, obviously this is just really impacting, improving his home life, his self-belief, his self-resilience.
Oh, I just love this so much. One question I do have, a lot of children or families that have children with disabilities, a lot of them are on different medications. And a lot of those medications tend to put weight on these beautiful little souls through no fault of their own. Is that something that you also integrate into the program to give them, the parents, the ideas around the best nutrition to support that? Because some of them literally cannot come off these medications. Is that something that you implement and try to educate on as well?
We implement the concepts of holistic living and nourishing the body. We don't try to step outside our realm of talking about anything around medication, but what we'd start with is how can you just live your best, be your best self and be your healthiest self by, and we're always talking about getting outside, making sure you got your ground on, your feet on the earth, getting lots of sunshine, moving your body. We always feel great when we move. And when we eat whole sun, what we call sunshine food. So we have these food or create and taste food workshops. So we start with that before we get into the movement. We cook some sort of simple meal, be it pancakes made from like banana and eggs, or be it a smoothie, or we made this smoothie sorbet, which the kids absolutely love. We've done fried rice, we've done chicken, we've done just simple meals. And we bring education with this as well about best way to nourish your body. And we talk about sunshine foods, so foods that are grown and raised outside, so meat, nuts, veg, fruit, rice, those sort of things, versus factory foods, so foods that are processed and created inside. We leave it at that. We don't go into certain ways, you know, things that you should and shouldn't eat, because that's not our realm and that's something for you to decide at home. But we really inspire and encourage them to go for sunshine foods over factory foods. We bring it to life by making these foods at the session, and we create atmosphere around it, energy around it. And these kids, they come into the sessions and, you know, we know a bit about the kids because we've had these onboarding calls with them at the start. But we hear things like, you know, they're very either sensory around the foods or won't try certain foods. And then a lot of them, because there's this energy, there's this atmosphere around the food, are now trying things. And when they try things, they actually realize, oh, it's not that bad. And they start to enjoy and like more of these foods. And this is the start of them learning that they can empower and grow their body through simple things, primal living, simple things that we've done forever, and that's just eating really good, wholesome foods, moving your body, getting outside. So we let our sort of education or our coaching, our energy do the talking in that regards, and the idea is to get into a place where they're growing as a person, they're overcoming a lot of these things that we all have. You know, we all have things to overcome, and maybe that means that they can eventually, you know, get off medication and things like that are just sort of a short-term band-aid or a short-term fix.
I just think this is really beautiful because it's a holistic approach. It's a multifaceted approach. It's not just one way or this is the only way. And I just want to acknowledge you and Chris for this because I think it's something that has definitely been lacking, and yet we probably haven't even realized it's what we're craving, not only as families, but as communities. And so I just really want to high five you and encourage the listener to follow Juiced Up Groms, to really get in behind these guys, to actually reach out to communities and let people know about them, to ask for them through the NDIS or the school system, because it's really this basic fundamental education that is literally changing lives. And I just love that story of the little 7-year-old boy. And I guarantee you, listener, he is one of thousands that are having the same response. And there is nothing more encouraging, more delighting as a parent than to see our kids flourish, no matter what their abilities. And I just want to say thank you. Thank you. I don't want to say thank you for the accident, but I want to thank you for taking the route that let you rise above it and question and get curious around where else you could take yourself. I also want to acknowledge your beautiful mum and your gorgeous wife. There is something about getting in behind and creating foundational love, care, support that we women can do so well in behind our men who are wanting to do something. And of course, it's vice versa. I totally appreciate that. But your mum with her foundational beliefs and her ability to raise you in such a way. It's almost like you've come home to yourself. And as we grow, and whether we have a good upbringing or a not so good upbringing, we can find either how to be or how not to be. Both of them can give us beautiful life lessons. But from your perspective, thankfully, it gave you such a fitness and such vitality that you got through the autoimmune, but then that big, massive accident. So I just want to say, I got really emotional listening to different parts of what you were saying. I know that you talk about it quite easily, but I can only imagine the dark moments and the times when you were really challenged and pushing yourself to get through and grow through these situations. You are a remarkable family. I love your three children. I think they're all absolutely extraordinary. They live this philosophy. And thanks to you and the strength of you and Sarah and what you both offer, you actually impact communities either through her coaching or with what her work is, and now, of course, with Juiced Up Groms. If there was a final message for this beautiful self-love podcast listener, and maybe, Cam, there's a beautiful quote that means something to you that you could include in this, what would you want this extraordinary listener to know?
Sure. I've got a quote for you. And this is a quote that means a lot to me. And it's just three words. I use this myself all the time. My family uses this. And we teach our clients and our clients, the kids, the families use this. And that quote is, practice makes better. So a lot of kids, and I'll deliberately say it slowly when they first hear it because they think it's going to be practice makes perfect. But, you know, that sets us up to believe that, you know, we should be striving to be perfect. And that's definitely not the case. If we just strive to be a little bit better and have a go, ultimately this is going to add up to major returns for us as an individual. So me personally, you know, whether I want to physically get a bit faster or build some muscle in the gym, or whether I want to build my business, you know, the Juiced Up Groms business, whether I want to, you know, be better at social media or deliver a better podcast, whatever it is, it's just practice makes better. Just do a little bit each day and eventually going to get better. And, you know, I think this is a really, really important part of our program. And I actually talk a lot about this, the parents, before we start the program. I'd say to the parents, the kids are going to hear this term, this quote, a lot, practice makes better, because it teaches us that it's okay not to fail. You know, if a kid has a shot at t-ball, if they have a shot at the net at goal and they miss, I say great, like practice makes, and they say that they know it, well, they go practice makes better, so that's great, let's go again. And you know, I think we're sort of taught to avoid like mainstream or school. I won't say necessarily schools, but in general, I feel like this, we're taught to avoid failure. But failure is where we learn. Failure is essential to us growing as a human. And from day one, you know, as a human, we've been failing. You think about us trying to walk. I was only speaking about this with Charlie the other day because he's having some things about soccer that he wanted to overcome. I said, you know, we're failing all the time, mate. From day one, you know, when we learn to walk, we're failing. And as a result, we get better. So, you know, it's okay to fail. And not only okay to fail, but I think we should go after failures. This is the framework I sort of always try to set up for myself, my family, and the kids within the program. And when we frame it like this, it allows us and our kids and our clients to go out and just actually have a go. And when you have a go, you're going to start to, you know, ultimate successes are going to come from that. But it all comes from practice makes better, as in you're just prepared to have a go and things will happen from there. And that particular quote within the program that we're teaching the kids has just had a profound effect on these kids. And it's what really helps these kids overcome these self-limiting thoughts. You know, even it's helped me overcome self-limiting thoughts. Get out there, have a go, and you're going to get better as a result.
Such beautiful words and reminders for all of us as parents, as entrepreneurs, as business owners, as employees, whatever it is that we're doing in life. If we can actually realize there is Perhaps there's even no such thing as failure, that we just learn to get feedback from those failures, inverted commas, and then get better, as you say. I think this is really interesting, the whole concept of juiced up Groms. As I said, it's pitched to the children and particularly in schools, NDIS and different community programs. But you're teaching parents as well. You're teaching so many people that are involved with that beautiful child to actually extend and grow and make good choices and live better lives and believe in ourselves. And so I just want you to know, even though I feel like it's aimed at the kids, I personally know that anything that my children have been through have taught me a hell of a lot as a human and as a parent. So I just want you to know that your work does not go unnoticed or unheard on the parents either, and also the teachers in your community, because by witnessing what you guys do, we get to learn and see how we can do it. Even that quote, as you say, taking that back into the family situation reinforces it, but also means we're all on the same page about helping our children grow into good humans. They're already good, really, but even better. Cam, I just want to say thank you so much. You know how much I adore your family and how excited I've been to have you on this show. You are a beacon of light. Your family is phenomenal. And I just want to say keep going, keep growing, because I can't imagine another year or two if we can get you back on the show and see where this is going over the next 12 months. I think you and Chris will be, you know, blown away by the impact that you're having and that ripple effect and the growth of this trajectory. I just want to say thank you. Thank you from the bottom of my heart and all the parents whose lives you touch and the children. Thank you. Thank you for being on the Self Love Podcast.
Well, Kimmy, it's an absolute pleasure. Thank you so very much. And if any of the communities or the families want to reach out to us, we obviously have the NDIS program, which is absolutely our biggest priority and focus throughout the term. We also have school shows, we have school programs based around movement as well. So, you know, people can find us on Juiced Up Groms on social medias, and then juicedupgroms.com is a great website where you can go check out the program and just register your interest. And then we'll reach out to you. And you know, often we just have quick chats with these people just to find out more about them, and they can find out more about us. And then from there, you know, start letting the magic happen and hopefully meet up with these amazing people.
So guys, remember that juicedupgroms.com. Follow these guys on socials. Even just let them know what a remarkable job they're doing. I know that you don't do this for the praise, but there is nothing nicer than getting feedback from beautiful communities and families who believe in what you're doing. And I can honestly say the listener here is right in behind you as well. Thank you. Love to Sarah and those three delicious humans you two created. And thank you again, beautiful Cam. It's been an absolute delight.
Thank you, Kimmy. Absolute pleasure as well. Thank you very much. Loved it.
Thanks for listening to the Self Love Podcast. Be sure to write a review and share the love with your friends and family. And head over and visit Kim and her team at 28.com. That's the word 20 and the number 8.com. Take good care.
This has been a production of TheWellnessCouch.com. Check us out on Facebook and join in the conversation on Facebook.com/TheWellnessCouch. Subscribe to each show on iTunes and check us out on Twitter. The Wellness Couch, streaming wellness into your lives.
Whilst the Wellness Couch presenter endeavor to provide accurate and helpful information to their listeners, these podcasts cannot take into account individual circumstances and are not intended to be a substitute for health and medical advice from a qualified health professional. You should always seek the advice of a qualified health professional before acting on any of the information provided by any of the Wellness Couch podcasts.